The House, please come to order. Will the members please register their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the quorum.
32 present, 8 absent.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, Representatives Guy, Meekins, Osterbach, Schaefer, Snyder, and Severson are excused from the call of the House today. I'll ask that other members be excused on official state business.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted.
Mr. Speaker, I have a request, and I'll hereby move that Representative Brown be excused from the call of the House today and tomorrow.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Representative Guy is excused from the call of the House, however, he is present today, so his excuse is not valid. Will the members please rise for prayer by Pastor Milton Hunt?
Let us pray. Almighty God, creator of this vast universe, we thank you for instituting governing authorities for law and order, peace, and justice. Assist these legislators gathered here today in all their duties. Make each and all aware that God has appointed them through election by the people for this term of service. As elected officials, they are ministers of God. Also help us who are citizens to do what is good for our state. Give us respect for our law and our lawmakers. Enable us to take constructive roles in establishing new legislation so that all our citizens are subject to fair and just laws. We ask your blessing this day, just as St. Paul did centuries ago. Bless them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Will the clerk please certify as to the correctness of the Daily Journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 54th, 55th, and 56th days.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent this body approve the journal as certified by the Chief Clerk for the 54th through the 56th days.
Hearing no objection, journal is approved as certified. Brings us down to introduction of guests. Are there any guests for introduction to the chamber? Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, it gives me great pleasure in Gallery A to introduce Jim and Dallas Seitz. They're longtime Alaskan residents and residents of Eagle River for 11 years. Jim and Dallas Seitz.
Representative Greening.
Mr. Speaker, I hope this gentleman hasn't been introduced, but I don't think so. He's from Anchorage and works for the Center for the Environment. His name is Carl Smith. He's in Gallery B.
Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to introduce in Gallery B, Ann Bradley, who is...
Representative Buchholz.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, I would like to introduce a friend and constituent of Mr. Bradley, Deanna Bradley.
Representative Kelly.
In Gallery A, Tom Matthews from Anchorage down here testifying on the OCS impact.
Are there other guests for introduction to the chambers? Messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Communications?
Yes, I have a communication from the Alaska Public Offices Commission stating that there's an enclosed a copy of public testimony before the Alaska Public Offices Commission that will be available in the Legislative Affairs Library. And there's another communication from the Department of Revenue that's 3 or 4 pages long. It's been duplicated and placed on each member's desk. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 2 authorizing state land to be made to be made available as home sites under consideration. Four of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, chairman, concurred in by Bennett, Snyder, Akers, Osterbach, Miller, and Malone. House Bill 2 has a further referral to judiciary. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 56 relating to the Alaska Mining License Tax under consideration. Four of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 56 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, chairman, concurred in by Bennett, Snyder, Akers, and Osterbach, having no recommendation, Malone and Miller. House Bill 56 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Bill 147 relating to the construction of public projects by state agencies under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 147 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Rudd, chairman, concurred in by Rudd, Osi, Kelly, Snyder, and Smith, having no recommendation, Phillips. House Bill 147 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 179, a special appropriation to the Department of Education for community schools, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Haugen, Swanson, Buchholz, Duncan, Cooper, and Greening. House Bill 179 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 203 relating to pay differentials between state employees residing inside and outside the state under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass and attaches a letter of its intent and a physical note. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Haugen, Swanson, Buchholz, Duncan, Greening, and Cooper. House Bill 203 has no further referral. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 251, a special appropriation to the Department of Public Works for reconstruction of Twin Hills School, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osi, vice chairman, concurred in by Severson, Chatterton, Nakak, Phillips, and Osi. House Bill 251 has a further referral to finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 34 by Carpenter, honoring Helmut G. Van Fleen on the occasion of his retirement from the University of Alaska.
You refer to the Rules Committee. Representative Miller.
Speaker, may we at ease?
House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask the Chair for a referral of Senate Bill 54 to the Judiciary Committee. We have under consideration the Children's Code revision, which considers the same topic, and we have that scheduled for a hearing in the near future, and would like to consider that along with the Children's Code revision.
The information of the body, Representative Gardner, could you explain what the topic is in Senate Bill 54?
It's a adoption assistance, which is one of the sections reviewed in House Bill 204.
If there is no objection, then we'll add a Judiciary Committee referral to Senate Bill 54 that's currently residing in Rules. Request the Judiciary Chairman. Before the at ease, we're down to introduction of resolutions. Mr. Clerk, have any further resolutions for introduction?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of bills.
House Bill 305 by Malone by request, an act relating to the hours of sale of alcoholic beverages.
Commerce and State Affairs.
House Bill 306 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to the solicitation of rides along highways by pedestrians.
State Affairs and Judiciary.
House Bill 307 by Miller, Bradley, Dankworth, Freeman, and Specking, an act relating to the method of duplication of annual reports to the legislature and prescribing the extent of distribution of those reports.
Bill will be referred to the State Affairs Committee only. Those people have copies of the referral list can note that.
House Bill 308 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor with a transmittal letter, an act relating to electrical administrators.
Commerce.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
That brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Clerk, please read the first item on the daily calendar.
House Bill Number 107 by Swanson, an act making a special appropriation to the City of Eagle for restoration of the Wickersham Courthouse and providing for an effective date. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 107 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, concurred in by Bradley, Kelly, Lathine, McKinnon, and Nackack. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 107 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Rode, Haugen, Guy, Schaefer, Meekins, Swanson, Buchholz, Duncan, Cooper, and Greening. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, unless there are amendments, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 107 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Will the clerk please read House Bill 107 in third reading?
House Bill Number 107 by Swanson, an act making a special appropriation to the City of Eagle for restoration of the Wickersham Courthouse and providing for an effective date.
House Bill 107 is before you in third reading. Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, it would be unusual for me to get up and speak for Mr. Swanson's bill, but that's what I intend to do. The City of Eagle has probably the most enthusiastic historical society of anybody anywhere in the state. Certainly percentage-wise, their members versus their population is tremendous. And I've had the opportunity to visit that place on several occasions and have been given the tour and seen the great things that they have done there, largely on their own. It's certainly an honor for me to be able to vote in favor of this appropriation.
Representative Swanson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My colleague from Anchorage, I might brief the body that the restoration of the Wickersham Courthouse in Eagle, the eight state legislature chose to initiate this program with a $25,000 appropriation. The building is almost finished. It's on a matching basis with the Historical Society, and this $5,000 will be matched by the Historical Society to finish the foundation and the front porch and the dress up of the Wickersham Courthouse in Eagle. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The question is, shall House Bill 107 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, 8 excused.
So House Bill 107 has passed the House. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 107 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, the effective date clause is adopted on House Bill 107. Would the clerk please read the next item on the daily calendar?
House Bill Number 187 by Gardner by request. An act relating to liens for towing and storage of motor vehicles. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 187 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 187 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Dankworth, Specking, Rudd, and Brown. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection. Motion is adopted. Is the clerk of any amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 187 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection. Motion is adopted. Will the clerk please read House Bill 187 in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 187 by the Judiciary Committee. An act relating to liens for towing and storage of motor vehicles.
House Bill 187 is before you in third reading. Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, today's got to be some sort of a historic occasion in this body because I don't ever remember seeing a bill that got this far that's introduced by a person by request. Normally that signifies that the legislator is going to do it for one of his constituents, but he really doesn't want it to pass, and I'm curious if Mr. Gardner really intended for this bill to get this far.
Representative Gardner.
Actually, it turns out that this wasn't by one of my constituents, but Mr. Urien is right that I do want it to pass. This is a kind of a technical cleanup from a Section A here was on a bill that passed the House last year, a bill that did go through the Judiciary Committee, and it somehow got left out in the shuffle at the end of the session. Originally, the bill I introduced had this Section A, and then one other idea here was Section 2 of the original bill, which had this 50-cent fee to that was to fund the program for picking up abandoned cars. But it turned out that Legislative Affairs advised us that that section would be in violation of the constitutional provisions for a dedication of funds, and we couldn't figure out another way to do it without just having the legislature appropriate some money. So we abandoned Section 2, which just left Section A. And that merely puts the storage charges under the same provisions of being regulated by the Alaska Transportation Commission as towing charges are.
Question is, shall House Bill 187 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Thirty-two yeas, no nays, eight excused.
So House Bill 187 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the daily calendar.
House Bill number 188 by Cotton, an act relating to voter registration. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 188 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 188 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, concurred in by Bradley, Nakak, Dankworth, McKinnon, and Miles. Mr. Kelly signed, do not pass. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the State Affairs Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Is the clerk of any amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 188 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk, please read committee substitute for House Bill number 188 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 188 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to voter registration.
Representative Cotton.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the purpose of this bill should be pretty clear, and that's to allow more people to become registration officials, and hopefully that'll result in more people being registered to vote. The section dealing with temporary registration officials is in there partially to relieve some of the record-keeping problems that the Division of Elections appears to or would have had with unlimited number of permanent registration officials. These temporary officials, of course, as it says in the bill, would just serve for a period of 150 days. And they just work for the single season, and they wouldn't therefore be required to be kept on the books. And according to the people in the Division of Elections, their permanent people continue to get updated packages of materials that would be a little bit of a burden for them to continue to send to all the people that would be included. So what you're going to end up with is, as it says, several temporary registration officials that will work the season, and either political party will have the opportunity to therefore get out and do some get out the vote drives.
Are you ready for the question?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, I oppose this bill in committee for the simple reason, and I suppose it's a philosophical problem, that I really feel that if you have to chase somebody down the street to get them to vote, that perhaps they shouldn't be asked to vote on matters of serious policy for the state of Alaska. I think that anybody who wants to vote in the state of Alaska has plenty of opportunity to register, and I am a little concerned about going having these huge drives door to door and get these people who have been in the state 30 days and let them vote on different different issues of concern to those of us that are going to be staying here for the rest of their lives. So I oppose the bill at committee, and I'll continue to oppose it.
Is there further discussion? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill number 188 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? The clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 5 nays, 8 excused.
So committee substitute for House Bill number 188 has passed the House. Would the clerk please read the next item on the daily calendar?
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 24 by all members of the Senate, honoring Carl Huntington for winning his second Fur Rendezvous championship.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 24 is before you. Question is, shall Senate Concurrent Resolution 24 pass the House? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The ayes have it. Senate Concurrent Resolution number 24 has passed the House. The record show it passed the House unanimously. Would the clerk please read the next item on the daily calendar?
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 27 by Ferguson, congratulating the Kotzebue High School Huskies.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 27 is before you. Ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Concurrent Resolution number 27 pass the House? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The record show that Senate Concurrent Resolution 27 has passed the House unanimously. That brings us to the end of today's calendar and down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I have a couple requests to be excused from the call of the House, and this time I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Rode be excused on the 15th and 16th of this month.
Hearing no objection, the member will be excused on the dates indicated.
I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Specking be excused on the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd of this month.
Hearing no objection, Representative Specking will be excused on the dates indicated. Is there further unfinished business to come before the House? Special orders. Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I believe it's becoming a custom for those of us who acting on as subcommittees who are visiting certain institutions in the state that make a report to the body. As about to recall, last Friday, the Speaker of the House, Representative Malone, Representative Rhodes, Representative Urien, Representative Cotton, myself, journeyed to Sitka to visit the Pioneers home. As a result of a request by the residents of the Pioneers home in Sitka, we were fortunate enough to be able to inspect the police academy we have over there and also attend a graduating class Friday evening of the Correctional Institute people. And Saturday morning we visited the Pioneers home. We had lunch with them, and I've always been impressed with the Pioneers home in as much as I've lived in Sitka, and I've been there many times. I'm sure for those members who have not had this opportunity that were, I believe Mr. Cotton had never been there before, and Mr. Malone, and I'm sure that they will substantiate the fact that the facility itself is very up to date, and the residents, the guests in the home, a vast majority of them are quite satisfied. Of course, there's small problems which we found, which is natural for places of this type. However, Mr. Speaker, I would like to also report that we have returned to Juneau, and Representative Rhodes has agreed to come back. Thank you.
Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, may I speak to the House on a matter concerning the University of Alaska?
Representative Rudd, you have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, several times on this floor recently, there have been statements that we should support the actions of the regents as they try to get control over the administrative system of the University of Alaska. Recently, last week, something happened that may make it harder for us to support the regents. And I'm referring to the fact that they have retained the former president of the university on contract for another year and a half after his resignation. There are several reasons why this concerns me. The first is that according to the newspaper article in the Fairbanks News Miner last week, the regents stated that they felt they had an implied contract with Dr. Hyatt to last until June of 1978. If that was so, then, Mr. Speaker, I believe that that is a result of the fact that Dr. Hyatt himself announced about a year ago that he would resign in June of 1978. And I don't understand why that contract, if it was such a contract, should still be in effect when Dr. Hyatt was the one who resigned early. Also, Mr. Speaker, I believe that if such an implied contract existed, I think it probably also had a provision in it that during Dr. Hyatt's tenure, the University of Alaska would not descend into administrative chaos. And perhaps the administrative chaos that has resulted may give the regents a reason and a justification for breaking an implied contract, if indeed such a contract exists. The second reason that I'm concerned about this is that in the newspaper article, again, it talks about Dr. Hyatt's being retained until June of 1978 to finish the academic development plan. And it quotes him as saying that that's what he was brought to the university to do. Now, Mr. Speaker, Dr. Hyatt has been at the university for 3.5 years, and the academic plan, development plan, is still not before us, or not before the people of Alaska. And I'm doubtful as to whether or not in another year and a half it will be any further along the road. The final reason that I'm concerned, and the overwhelming reason that I'm concerned, is that the implications in all the news stories that I've read are that Dr. Hyatt is being kept on in order that he may resign in June of 1978 after having had 5 years of service at the university, and he may thereby be eligible for $18,000 a year in retirement pay, which he's not eligible for now because he hasn't been at the university for 5 years. Mr. Speaker, I submit that this is outrageous. Thank you.
Representative Dankworth.
I would just like to concur with Representative from Anchorage, Mrs. Rudd. I think probably since the history of governments have been recorded, it's filled with a long list of those agencies that fell into disrespect or lost the support of the people. And generally you'll find that those agencies are agencies that isolated themselves too far from the public taxpayer, the people who support them. I support autonomy for our university where the academic concept is concerned. I support, Mr. Speaker, autonomy in our court systems where decision making is concerned. I do not support these agencies in government, whether it be a government or its subsections, that tend to isolate themselves from the taxpayer and the people who support them from a fiscal standpoint. And I don't care whether you talk about the FBI or the CIA or any other agencies that you see falling into disrespect around the country, you'll find that they fall into disrespect because they have too long been isolated from any input from their constituency. Now, I, like Mrs. Rudd, think it's a disgrace that in light of the problems that our university has just come to light, I think it's a disgrace that the first decision that the Board of Regents make is so irresponsible is to take a man and knowingly put him in a position where I, as a taxpayer, have to pay him $18,000 or $19,000 a year for the rest of his life. I think that that's wrong. I think it demonstrates exactly that the legislature and the executive branch of this government have abdicated their responsibility to look into these matters and look after the taxpayer's dollar. And I'm sorry that we, and I oppose at this time, and I have in the past, the way that this matter is being handled in the first place. I've never heard of an agency that got in so much fiscal problems as the University of Alaska, and as a result of the president and the Board of Regents, who were in charge of it, we've turned around, and in light of that, we put the same problem right back into to the people who were running it in the first place, let them appoint their own auditors or efficiency team to report to them. I don't know where, as a representative, I'm going to have an opportunity or this body to see that problem is corrected. So I just wanted to support that. I think this is wrong, and I think the Regents made a mistake. And it's not only there, it's in other agencies. I'm just basically against any retirement system in this state that is not actuarially sound. Every one of them is being abused. I'm against the one in the court system. Right now, under the court system's retirement plan, if those people were to pay into that on an actuarially sound basis, it would be 67% of their salary to make it actuarially sound. Now, this state has a good retirement system for all state employees, and I don't support anybody who wants to isolate themselves from that and set up their own system. Thank you.
Are there any more special orders? Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like the privilege of the floor to address the body on the subject of enlightenment.
Without objection, Mr. Kelly, you have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, a short time ago we voted on House Bill 188, and I voted opposed the bill. Since that time, Mr. Speaker, I have become enlightened, and I would like to ask reconsideration of my vote.
Clerk will please note Mr. Kelly's reconsideration on House Bill 188. Are there any more special orders? Representative Miles.
Can we revert to introduction of guests, Mr. Speaker?
Hearing no objection, revert to introduction of guests. Mr. Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, a friend of mine, a gentleman down here working very hard on the problems that the leaseholders are having, Mr. Joe Wilhauer.
Are there any further guests for introduction? Not, revert to the regular order of business. Are there any more special orders? Representative Osi.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to comment on whose idea it was, but these new holders that are on our desk, which aren't as cumbersome as these other ones we have had. Whoever the idea is, I think it should be commended for it.
I guess the credit is due to our staff here in the House. Are there any more special orders? Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, State Affairs at 1:15 will be taking up again. It's getting just about to the end, capital move legislation.
Representative Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, the Finance Committee will meet all this week for the purpose of closing out its recommendations on the budget. Today, immediately after the session, we will be taking up general government. At 1:15, we'll take up transportation until that ends, and then we'll take up general government again, and we'll go into the night if we have to in order to close them out. Just for the information of the rest of the members, tomorrow morning we will meet at 8:30 a.m. to take up the health budget, after which we will take up the social services budget immediately after the session and going on into the afternoon for however long we need to close those budgets out. On Wednesday, once again beginning at 8:30, we'll be taking up the education and development budgets. On Thursday, we'll be taking up the justice budget. On Friday, we'll be taking up the public protection and environmental conservation and natural resources budget. Over the weekend, we expect to take up the University of Alaska, and we hope to be able to present this budget to the House by Tuesday or Wednesday.
Representative Urien.
There'll be a Republican caucus quite a bit.
Representative Gardner.
Judiciary Committee will meet at 3 o'clock today on House Bill 240, which is one of the governor's bills on alcoholism. recommendations. It's not the taxes or the appropriations bill, but deals with the legal changes on municipalities going dry and bootlegging, other amendments like that. Also, I want to announce now, it's not on our proposed weekly calendar, but the Judiciary Committee will be taking up Tuesday night, 7 p.m., the House Bill 2, the Homestead Act.
Representative Rudd?
Mr. Speaker, Community and Regional Affairs will meet at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. We'll continue taking testimony on House Bill 219 on permits for construction of facilities associated with the Outer Continental Shelf developments.
Representative Parr?
Mr. Speaker, the House Committee will meet at 3 o'clock today. House Bill 228, leave for teachers engaged in collective bargaining. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 46, regent appointed from the student body of the University of Alaska to serve on the Board of Regents. And House Bill 130, Public Employment Relations Act. Mr. Speaker, on the last one, I might point out, since that title is rather unclear, that's the one that would have the representatives of the student body sit in on the collective bargaining negotiations.
Further announcements, committee meetings. Representative McKinnon?
Commerce will meet tomorrow morning at 9 to conduct confirmation hearings on Commissioner Hubbard. And I'd also like to ask members to review the proposed committee substitute on House Bill 15, and we'll act on that following the confirmation hearings.
Further announcements? Representative Miller?
Speaker, the chairman of Resource asked me to announce that he's flying back today and will, should be arriving at 1:15, so there will be a meeting today at 2:30 in room 118 of the Capitol Building to consider House Bill 264, Fisheries Enhancement, and House Bill 40, which is Division of Forestry. Speaker, I've also been asked to announce that reservations should be called in today for the members who are planning on attending the governor's prayer breakfast. I think earlier most of us, in fact, all of us, received invitations to attend the governor's prayer breakfast, which is at 8:30 a.m. on Saturday, March 19th. The speaker this year will be former Lieutenant Governor H.A. Red Boucher. And they did emphasize that they would like to have reservations called in today. If anybody needs that number, you can pick up the call-in numbers from my office right after session. If there is no further business to come before the body, Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that we stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Hearing no objection, House is adjourned.